Last week we talked about courage. And you think, why do I need courage? If I try to quote Yoda again, I'll get it wrong and one of you guys will have to correct me, but I'll do it anyway. You know, one of the movies, the Star Wars movies, when old Luke's training and Yoda's walking around and Luke says, "I'm not afraid." And Yoda says, "You will be. You will be." And you think in this room of loving and happy and connected people, encouraged by Christ, following the awesome God of the universe, I don't need courage. I'm not going to be afraid. Well, you're going to need courage. You will need courage. We are called to think and act differently than all the examples around us. The ladies, a lot of the ladies are taking a Bible class right now. They're meeting in homes during the week. And one of the lessons given in the series, I really enjoy the way it's taught. It's called Opposite World. And the point of the lesson is, as Christians, it's just all turned upside down. And we've got to get used to thinking that way. We've got to think opposite of the way everybody else thinks, practically. Nothing straight. What Mogens just read for us, Galatians 2:20. You know it? You want to sing it with me? "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ died for me. I die to Christ, or to self, if you want to say it that way. That Christ lives through me, and I live for him. We die to live. If that's not upside down and backwards, I don't know what is. We're going to be in Luke this morning. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above." Romans 12 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's a good word. That's an adequate description of what we're trying to go through. Most of you guys have played with Transformers, right? Where you take the truck and you turn the wheels up and the chassis around and the body down and you get the robot, you know, or the thing. Well, you take the dinosaur and turn the head around and make it backwards and you get a jet or whatever. It ends up being something totally different by twisting this and turning that and turning that. It ends up being something totally different than what you started with. It's transformed. Well, that's what our minds are supposed to be in Christ. Transformed. Different. We have got to be thinking differently. That's why living in the world is so dangerous. And that's why you'll hear 1,000 times a year, I hope, maybe 2,000, Bible studies at home. Read your Bible every day. Have devotionals as a family. Pray constantly. You see, we need so much more than this 1 hour of a lesson. 20 minutes of a lesson, or if I don't talk too long. Have I ever done a 20-minute lesson? I don't think so. Wednesday night, when they're supposed to be 5 minutes long, sometimes I'll do 20-minute lessons. We need so much more than these brief little periods of time. It's like swimming in a pool and hopping out once a week for an hour and then jumping back in and swimming for the rest of the week and thinking you'll be dry. We've got to think differently. And we need His Word to do that. We need His Word to do that. The world has a way of reaching in all the time. Where was that? Oh, it's back there. I don't really mind cell phones. I know some people have real, you know. Sorry. Look at Luke 16. We're going to be there for just a minute. Luke 16, 10. Make disciples. Me, my family, and then everybody I come in contact with. All whom I touch. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. The little things build and show the big things. How you handle a dollar will show how you handle $1 million. How you handle a good morning will show how you handle a marriage. How you take care of your suit of clothes will show how you'll take care of your home. Who is faithful in a little thing is faithful in much. He who's unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. It's different thinking. It's different. You love the world. You relish the dress, the movies, the shows, the attitudes, the money, the things. You run after that, you will hate God. You'll despise Him. You love God, you'll turn around and look at the world and you'll despise it. You cannot have two masters. So let's go back earlier in Jesus' teaching, Luke chapter 6, and get a taste of this different thinking. Now, this is during the same time that Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. It has some sayings and some things in it similar to that lesson. Maybe Jesus taught this a week later or a week earlier, the day later or a day earlier. But it's not the same lesson. It's during the same time of His ministry. Now, not to me. I'll mess it up. But shh, let's listen to Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Let's listen to Christ teaching us to think differently. And turning His gaze toward His disciples, He began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Now, because we've heard these words, we kind of go into neutral. Remember, we got to get in gear. We did this about a month ago. We kind of go back into, blessed are the poor in spirit. No, this isn't, first of all, it's not the same list as Matthew 5. It's similar, but it's not the same. It's a different teaching at a different time. But we go into neutral. We've got to think differently. Did you hear what he just said? The good side of the ledger in this list are the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the unpopular, the hated. That's the blessed side. When you're poor, when you're hungry, when you're weeping, and when you're hated, leap for joy. I told you, it's opposite thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's opposite thinking. Now let's look at the sad side of this. The woeful side of this ledger is where most of us want to be, and where we're taught day after day after day. This is where you want to be. You want to be rich. You want to be well fed. You want to be happy, and you want to be popular. Yeah. That's what else is there? I mean, come on. You got money in the bank. You got food that you like. You got stuff to laugh at and things that make you happy in your life. And you're popular. Jesus says, watch out. It's opposite thinking. And we've got to have our minds trained. It's the danger signal of all of the stuff we're shown day after day after day after day, all the way around us. We know he didn't conclude that all of us give our money away. We know that he didn't conclude that all of us give our houses away and shuffle along the streets in rags, going from home to home to home, begging for money. We know he didn't conclude that because we see the way the church was organized. He's teaching us about what Randy was telling us a little while ago, about love and heart and purpose and direction. Verse 27, let's keep reading. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Hey, that's mine. Give it to me. Whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others in the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, you're going to pay me back. You're going to pay me back? I mean, come on. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to receive the same back, the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and it will be pardoned and you will be pardoned. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. He spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that out of your eye, that speck that is in your eye," then when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree will be known by its fruit. Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bushes. For the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. You all have seen, you all have experienced destruction in life. You have seen families, you have seen marriages awash, overwhelmed, collapsing. And you can always go back to this parable. When you build your life, we sing it, right? Wise man built his house upon the rock. We sing it, and then we go and rush after money and look for popularity. And demand back what we're owed. We don't understand the little things in life build the big things. It takes a different kind of thinking. And where it breaks down mostly is that we believe in God, but we don't believe God. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Absolutely. My life's in Him. Sure. Baptized into Him. Sure. Come to church. I love church. You know, good people, good potluck. Wait. Woohoo. If we got a good, you know. Robert doesn't talk too long. It'll be all right all the way through. We believe in God, but when we see these instructions, we don't believe Him. So we're in the two masters world. Oh, Jesus is Lord, right? And then we go home and the world is Lord. And the world's thinking is our thinking. And what the world runs after, I run after. And what the world loves, I love. I've been cautioned, with a smile on the face, by the way, not to speak too long next week, because next Sunday afternoon is the football game, right? I don't know, I'd have to speak a long time to run into a game that doesn't start till the middle of the afternoon, but I could do it if you wanted me. Preach the word, thank you. By the way, this is from the Caucasus. You like that? John came two Wednesday nights ago and says, I'm ready, Robert. Ready for what? I told you I was going to make that preach the word sign. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, here you go. And put it up there. You go ahead and watch that game next week, but don't you watch it if you love football. If football and sports and that kind of entertainment is your love, then you better break that heart and break your heart and break that relationship and love God. You cannot love God and the world. You cannot have two masters. You watch that game if God owns your heart. If God is your Lord and your love is with Him, then go ahead. And that's the way we justify things. I don't have time to get into all this, but that's the way we justify. Well, there's nothing wrong with football. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with owning a house. There's nothing wrong with having an extra car. There's nothing wrong with vacations. There's nothing wrong with promotions. There's nothing wrong with getting an extra degree or a title, or there's nothing wrong with that, is there? And then we run after them because we're in love with them. Jesus is asking us, change your mind. Be different. Be transformed. It takes courage to look at this stuff and say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. Honey, I've tried this week. I've tried to turn the TV off, and I keep turning it back on. I'm going to put it away. I'm just going to pack it up. But the game's next. I know. I can't. I'm not in control. It's in control, and I'm putting it away. But what? No, I can't do it. Your children will riot. Or think about it anyway. If you've got a love and an addiction and a devotion to anything but God and His will, kill it. Get rid of it. This is upside down world. This is opposite world, as a teacher in the tapes likes to say. This is opposite world. Those who are in charge, who lead, are the servants of all. Those who are first in line are last. Those who want to live have to die first. I'm telling you, it's opposite world. And it takes courage to think that way, and it takes even more courage to live that way. And we are awash in worldly teaching. I saw a cartoon with my children not too long ago. It was cute. It was an old one, cute little cartoon. Never mind what the subject was or the character was. But the main character, our little hero, had somebody do him wrong. And the little bubble appeared over their head and it said, revenge. And in a comical way, the rest of the cartoon was about our little hero getting back, getting revenge for what the bad guy did. From our littlest minds, we teach them how to act like the world. Nothing wrong with cartoons, is there? We're indoctrinating ourselves backwards and upside down and inside out from where God wants us to think. Courage. Courage. To think differently. The courage to take the eraser and just start to wipe off all of the presupposed conclusions you have in your life and say, Lord, I don't want anything written on that that's not in your handwriting. I want to live and think the way you want me to. Therefore, set your mind on things above. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is only possible because Christ died on that cross. The easy part is being baptized into Him. He did the hard part there. We're then asked to die to ourselves that He can live in us. Are you ready for that? If there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, or any that need prayers or help or strength in any regard in this matter, we're offering you an opportunity to do that. You can come forward and let us know whatever your need is while we stand and sing the song that's been chosen.